You are Locked On Mizzou, your daily podcast on the Missouri Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hail you, true sons and daughters. I'm John Miller, your Mizzou mafioso and the central scrutinizer of Missouri Tigers football and basketball. And on today's program, I'm welcoming back Pat Lynch, the master of the Field of 68 Haikus, which you can find this year's version, this year's Field of 68, on Twitter at 68 Haikus. But that's how big of a college basketball fan Pat Lynch is. You know what? We get into some bigger NCAA topics like reseeding, possibly bringing back conference preseason tournaments. But of course, we talk about Xavier Pinson transferring from Missouri and also Konzo Martin, the basketball program as well. So you know what? Without further ado, and oh, by the way, we did record this program before Amari Davis, the Wisconsin Green Bay transfer, announces that he is going to come to Missouri. He looks like about a 6'3" combo guard. I'll have more on Amari Davis in the coming days, but again, that news broke just a few hours after we recorded here. So when we talk about Missouri's utter lack of ball handlers, well, the reason we didn't get to Amari Davis is because we didn't have the news yet. So with all that out of the way, here's me and Pat.
Doesn't it just, number one, doesn't it just feel great to have the NCAA tournament back? What have been your thoughts so far? Because that's been my biggest one so far. It's just nice to have it back.
You know, I took a couple vacation days and just to take time away from my office and sit down and just watch tournament games wall to wall. And it was, I forgot how much I missed it. You know, like I forgot how much that like overtime games, you know, overtimes starting after midnight on the East Coast is just, it's just so good. You know, it's like, it was beautiful. It really was beautiful. I mean, and it was a great weekend too. I mean, it was really, you know, as a guy who likes to see the upsets, as likes to see the underdogs and things like that. I mean, it was a great, you know, a great volatile kind of tournament, but a nice mix of volatility with, you know, still seeing some of those top teams really shining and getting through and setting up what's hopefully going to be two more great weekends coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was jonesing so bad. I think I watched more of those actual conference tournaments than I had in years, too. I even got sucked in to the early morning, the SWAC Women's Championship game. And I, by the way, no regrets. That was a fantastically dramatic game for the championship and everything. A huge comeback that was thwarted at the end. I was going, these ladies are going at it, and I'm loving every second of it.
Those small conference tournaments, man, when it's all on the line. Like
absolutely. It's great. It's great drama.
If you don't follow that kind of stuff throughout the year, like, you know, it doesn't quite ring true how important that one game is and what that means for everything. So yeah, that is that's your drama during Champ Week is those mid majors. Absolutely.
No doubt about it. Well, obviously, on the whole, you got to say you take a bigger picture perspective at the Missouri season, of course. And, you know, I think you got to say at the beginning of the season, you said, hey, if Missouri gets into the 8-9 game, that's a success. We haven't played in the tournament for 2-3 seasons, whatever it's been, since the 17-18 campaign. But, Pat, what are your thoughts on this season? Obviously finished a little bit disappointing, and really just Konzo Martin in general. I've definitely fired back at the Fire Konzo camp the last couple days. So if you think I'm wrong, by all means, put me in my place.
So I'll start real quick with the season. I've said this out loud to a couple of people, and this was the quinniest season we've had in a while. You know what I mean? If anyone was around, you know, and really like in it in that, you know, early, you know, Quinn Snyder era, like, this had such a Quinn vibe to it where you start out hot and your non-conference is great, you know, and we're getting, you know, all these AP rankings and beating all these tournament teams. And then it's just like we hit SEC play and it was just like you couldn't string it together against the teams that you just knew you had to beat and like you knew you should have beat. And, you know, you get swept by Ole Miss, you know, stuff like that. I mean, like, that is nothing against Ole Miss. They play well for the most part in those games, especially in Oxford. But, like, you know, to do that, and then you just kind of clunk it down the stretch, and, you know, we were in it against OU. We just, you know, we just gotta, like, yeah, we just can't, you got, I mean, it's so cliche, but you gotta play 40 minutes, you know, and you just let yourself get in a hole, and you try to dig out of it, and it's, you know, that it's hard to do. You can't just keep pulling rabbits out of places. So, I mean, yeah, on the whole, 30,000 feet, it's a success. I mean, getting back to the tournament is important. And I think, yeah, we said it probably, I think, you know, we did a pod, I think back in December, about kind of where we'd be. And I thought, you know, hey, if we stayed healthy and things went well, maybe, you know, 6-7, things didn't go so well, maybe, you know, 9-10-11. So, you know, we're kind of split the difference, you know, sure. And, you know, it's fine. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly when the destination was okay and positive, the journey is a little rugged. You know, Konzo in general, you know, I give probably maybe coaches a longer leash than a lot of people do, just generally speaking, you know, across the board. But, you know, I feel like, you know, and I tweeted this out at one point, most anti-Konzo, fire Konzo arguments are basically the South Park underpants gnomes arguments. You know what right. I mean? Step one, fire Konzo. Step three, final four. You know,
right, exactly.
Like, you know, what are we going to do? You know, it's fine if you don't like Konzo. And listen, like, there's some stuff. There's some stuff.
I agree. There. And I've become, to some people, if you just say, if you don't agree with fire Konzo, then you're an apologist. And it's right. Like, well, wait a second. There's actually quite a bit of middle ground in between yeah. those two positions.
Definitely. There's some stuff there that needs to be addressed. It needs to be worked on. I mean, you know, I don't know what our future is for next year. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty there across the board. But like, you know, I don't know what the plan, like, you, if you're going to fire a concert, you got to come to me with a plan of action. You come to me with,
it's going to cost just a tremendous amount of money too. And frankly, sure. Even I've broken that probably down enough, even without the money aspect of it. Right. I just don't know how, as where this program is after you've actually made the tournament, no matter how dire next season may look on paper, I just don't know how you can do that. How's that going to play in the coaching community, the media, quite honestly, being, you know, let's be frank, one of the few black coaches in college basketball, certainly in high major basketball. Oh, Missouri is just going to fire the black guy, huh? How's that right. going to play for real? And I'm not saying that's why you keep him, but it is a factor. And quickly, I just want to jump in and tell you about our friends at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, including the NHL and the NBA, but of course, college basketball. We're right in the middle of the tournament. And betonline.ag has a whole bunch of fun prop bets for you, including will Sister Jean quote stats during pregame prayer? Yes is minus 150. No is plus 110. And will Sister Jean's championship matchup, Baylor and Gonzaga, be correct? Well, yes, is plus 250. You know what? I actually don't hate those odds. But regardless of my opinions and yours, well, you got to put your money where your mouth is at betonline.ag, and they've got you covered with anything you want to bet on. So head there now. And when you sign up for your first account and deposit, be sure to use the promo code Locked On to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's a 50% welcome bonus when you use the promo code Locked On at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Well, the Sweet 16's coming. Baseball is around the corner. And who better to get you all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes than with the Locked On Today podcast? Peter Bukowski updates you on all the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. So follow Locked On Today podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your shows.
Right. You were pining for this guy for years before he got here. You fire him after going to two NCAA tournaments in 4 years.
Really obvious circumstances where he's had to deal with huge injuries as much as anybody in the country. And you can say that's an excuse. To me, it's a reason, I think.
No, and like, yeah, you're right. The money is a whole separate discussion. I mean,
right.
we are living in, you know, pandemonomics still,
sure.
You know, where schools are making decisions. And even at the highest levels, I mean, you're seeing guys not get fired as quickly as you think they would because they don't want to pay the buyouts, or you're seeing replacements brought in who are guys who are, frankly, were not big ticket replacements. I mean, Minnesota just made a hire, and they hired an alum who was an assistant at Xavier, never been a head coach at any level.
Sure.
don't tell me that wasn't somewhat economically driven, that you found, that you found a way to put a good face.
Right.
And I'm not nothing against Ben Johnson. I'm sure he's a good guy and you know, whatever. I don't follow Minnesota basketball very closely, but it's like, you know, I'm sure they found a way to put a good smiley face on what I'm sure was to some degree an economic decision when they went move forward. So, but yeah, but that's, I mean, money aside, I just, you got to tell me who we're going to go get.
Right. And it seems like the name that you see the Fire Konzo people throwing out there, they're already thinking toward Kim English. It's like, all right, another alum, and God love Kim English.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I actually think he's going to be a good coach. Maybe it'll probably take some adjustment period for him. I'm just saying, will he be ready to take over Missouri in a year or two? Seems unlikely. And I'm just saying, if that's the only name you've got, a guy who played at Missouri 10 years ago, you got to do better than that. You got to have more options than that to just dump the guy for, again, what's going to be millions and millions of dollars on top of the buyout to get a new coach.
Absolutely. I'm not gonna say a bad word about Kim English on this show, for sure.
Definitely not.
But he's 32.
Right.
He's never been a head coach. He's just got a job at George Mason. Good for him. You know, which again is gonna be an ambitious job for him.
I mean, really, it is.
That A10 is a tough league.
I hate to say it, guys, George Mason has got a Final Four appearance. Missouri does not. Does that mean they're a better program? No, but my point is George Mason is a real job. That's a big-time program.
And it's
mid-major.
It's a tough league and a tough place to get traction, especially when there's a lot of good coaches already in that league. So good luck to him. I hope he does great because, yes, in the future, it would be awesome for everyone if he ends up being a success story and comes back and coaches the Tigers. I mean, that would be great. It would also be great if he couldn't do that because we had a coach and we were killing it and there wasn't an opening. That would also be great. You know, I mean, but right now, 2021 got, you know, like hiring Kim English in 2021 is, to rewind it back, all the people who wanted Kim Anderson for years. And then we got Kim Anderson and it blew. I mean, you know, let's be honest.
Sure.
Again, good man, but wasn't a good coach, but we pined for him for years because we felt that's going to be the thing. And guess what? It wasn't. And I feel like to some degree, pining for Kim English right now is a little manifestation of that.
Right. Yeah. I don't know that the solution is just so simple as, let's look for a link to past successes in Missouri. You look at the football program right now, Eli Drinkwitz has zero connection to Missouri whatsoever. So you got to broaden your horizons a little bit as if you're going to actually think about that.
And we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for literally over a year now. But Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all its bars. Well, now is the time to match them up and find out which Built Bar truly is the greatest of all. Well, tonight's matchup, Cookie Dough Chunk versus the winner of Coconut and Birthday Cake. So there you go. There you have it. Friday, it's going to be Cookie Dough Chunk against whoever wins that Monday matchup. So go to BuiltBar.com, check it out, or go to Twitter.com/bar_built. But regardless, remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who advances in Built Bar Madness. Are you ready for the NFL Draft? Join Locked On NFL Draft hosts Peter Sikma and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings and analysis on 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked about what next year is going to look like. Certainly with Xavier Pinson moving on, entering the transfer portal, Missouri just has a gaping hole in its roster at basically the point guard position or just any ball handlers whatsoever, to the point where it's all at this point, if Missouri, without any transfers, obviously they're going to hit the transfer market. you're looking at a starting five. To me, the true freshman Anton Brookshire is really the only guy who can play point on the roster, maybe other than possibly Caleb Brown, Kobe's brother. Right. You're looking at Brookshire starting along with Javon Pickett, Torrance Watson, Kobe Brown, and Parker Brown. Those are really the only guys with experience on the team. Now, on paper, that team lacks experience, ball handling, size, and shooting. But other than that, it seems like we should be really good next year.
I was going to say, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Exactly.
No, you're right. There's a lot of uncertainty, and certainly to kind of loop it back into like the thread about this season, this was clearly a team that was built for this year. Like, right. This was, you know, constructed for this year. I'm a little disappointed that, you know, even with Vincent, even if Vincent come back and that,
oh, of course, that, like, it would have been ugly anyway,
that,
but yeah,
well, that this team, you know, and again, we haven't seen the freshmen. I'm being very cautiously optimistic about any of the freshmen. But like, you know, this team was, you know, there was definitely, I wish there was a little bit of a bolster there that, you know, so the fall wasn't quite as hard, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be, the transfer market's going to be big. I mean, the transfer market is a market now, and it's a full, I mean, it's been for a while now, but it's sure. A full-fledged market, and you got to go out there, and that is a whole separate side of recruiting, and you got to find guys there that are going to fill in and make it work. So, I mean, that's going to be critical, because you're right. The team that is left over at this point, can't compete. I mean,
they just can't.
I mean, and certainly not next year. You know, I mean, like, again, right. Now, if we got some sleepers in this class,
then, sure, and maybe we do, but yeah, that's asking a lot from guys who are mostly three-star type players. That I like some of those guys, don't get me wrong, but just to expect that as freshmen they're going to come in and just pop immediately, that's probably a little too much. And you know what, just to transition a little bit here, Pat, I was talking earlier about how I was more into the postseason conference tournaments this year that I've been in quite some time, but I've sort of floated the idea recently that, you know, maybe we should move those tournaments to the preseason perhaps, or maybe just restart a second tournament. There used to just be a preseason and a postseason tournament in the Big Eight, for instance, back in the day. What do you think about that idea of just sort of getting college basketball into the sports zeitgeist a little bit earlier in the calendar, maybe?
A preseason tournament in addition to what we do currently would be kind of interesting. It would be nice to see, because I think it would be good for fans. I think it'd be good for programs to kind of get a sense of where you match up with your peers before, really kind of like this as a starting point, you know, like even if it's, you know, just kind of like a, you know, some sort of round robin or something, you know, something kind of like to just get a couple games in, or however, you know, we can work it within the NCAA regulations on scheduling. That would be kind of neat. You know, I would not necessarily advocate for full-fledged moving, just because I think, you know, there's too much weight on, you know, what is the postseason. You know, it's like, that's the, you know, you get teams that are playing their best at the end of the season as it leads in the NCAA tournament. And it's, I think, a, you know, good tournament prep and all these things. And, you know, and to talk about the, you know, the lower levels, those are your automatic bids. I mean, and you want your teams that are playing best, certainly at the end of the year, heading into that tournament. But yeah, I think that it would be interesting to see something in some capacity, some early matchups against conference teams, even if they weren't necessarily conference games, you know, like if,
sure.
Because
doesn't have to count on the schedule necessarily.
Yeah. Cause that's also
or in the standings, I should say.
Yeah. That's also a little unfair too, because we've seen, in the basketball side, I mean, ACC did this two years ago because they launched the ACC network. So they front loaded their schedule with a bunch of conference games, you know, and it's rough when those games really count to play them right off the bat, you know, and really get going. Also, I mean, you see in football too, like
all the
time, likes opening their football season with an SEC game. Like I don't,
sure.
I would, you know, say what you want about playing, you know, Louisiana Monroe or whatever. I'd rather beat them, or, you know, to play a game, or even just, you know, I'd rather play Purdue or someone like that, than play Georgia or even Vanderbilt, you know? So yeah, it would be interesting though, to see kind of like, to get a little frame of reference rather than have to wait till January. And also then kind of based off of these non-conference schedules, which even in a normal year are so varied, and you know, just when you think you got it figured out, you're like, nope, someone lays an egg, someone shoots to the top.
Yeah. Maybe the solution is almost just to cut down on some of the current preseason tournaments. Like, I remember when I was 20 years ago, when I was in high school, college, like the Great Alaska Shootout, for instance, was a big deal. Now, maybe nobody wants to go to Alaska anymore, fine and dandy, but I'm just saying, if there were fewer of those preseason tournaments, maybe you get better fields and then you don't have to worry about all that conference stuff that maybe my idea brings up, maybe gums up the works, that sort of deal.
As good as some of those like non-conference tournaments early in the season are these days, yeah, I'm with you. I kind of pine for when I was, you know, the 90s, when it was like, yeah, the preseason NIT, you had the Maui,
right?
And you had the Great Alaska Shootout, and like that was it. Like those right. were like your big three tournaments, and yeah, you would, you know,
and it felt like a big deal when you were in them too,
right? And they were big teams. I remember we, I think it was my freshman year at Mizzou, we went to Alaska that year, and like,
oh wow,
lost the Syracuse in the finals. You know, it was freshman or sophomore year, one of those years,
right? Right.
But yeah, like it was great. You know, it was like, you know, you kind of like, and they were on at certain times of the day when you kind of knew like, all right, I can watch like Maui during the day,
right,
early. And then like the, you know,
the last games would always be really late. Of course,
the last games were late, and the NIT right. was kind of in prime time. And so, yeah, I kind of liked it when it was a little less cluttered.
Agreed.
Cause they felt like they had a little more clout. That's for sure.
Right. Well, one more topic just on the whole tournament, just the big tournament as a whole. You know, when Loyola was playing Illinois in the second round, obviously that was a really fun basketball game. Number one, really good college basketball there. But as many people have discussed, including you and I on this program, the 8-9 game really feels like a punishment at this point. And honestly, it felt like a punishment for Illinois in this particular case because, oh my God, this Loyola team, hey, guess what? KenPom was for real. That's a legit top 15, top 10 kind of squad to my eyes. So I guess my question is, would you consider reseeding in the future? In other words, basically my question is, would you rather have fairness or excitement? Because I think, is unless I'm a Missouri fan and we're in the 8-9 game, that type of deal, I think I just want the excitement, don't you? Because while I think reseeding is more fair, sure, I think the unpredictability is obviously part of the tournament's appeal.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I know why, you know, why you have reseeding in tournaments. Some conferences do it in their conference tournaments.
Right.
I follow America East. America East does it, among others. And that's in part because you want to help.
Because of the automatic bids. Yeah, right. that makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
They're not trying to hurt cut their own throats, essentially. Yeah.
Exactly. If anything, we want to give them a little boost and reward them for doing well in the regular season. I mean,
that would be the argument in the NCAA tournament as well, of course, but... Yeah. The counter is it's a TV event and people kind of like it the way it is. So
I think at some point it's like your tournament is your tournament. You know, your bracket is your bracket. It's the bracket of integrity. You know,
the problem, right? It would mess up everybody's bracket. Oh, yeah. So it's a non-starter. I didn't even think about that. Like, they'll never do it because of the brackets. I didn't even think about that.
Office pool in the dump right there. So,
okay.
But yeah,
no, that's the answer, everybody.
No is the answer, but the longer version certainly is that, like, I don't know. I think it's, you know, I like having that idea that it's like you play who's in front of you and you play it based on kind of what happens, you know, and it's like, you know, we wouldn't have Oral Roberts wouldn't be in the Sweet 16 this weekend if we did this. You know what I mean? Right. And I think that's.
No, I think that's good for college basketball to have Oral Roberts in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Oral Roberts is going to get caught hard against Arkansas, personally, I think. But, like, oh, well, hey, they got to the Sweet 16. They got to the second weekend. They got 5 more days of press. That's great. You know, I think, like, you know, the tournament is the tournament is the tournament. It is what it is. Like, you get who you get, and you don't get upset, and you keep going. And you know, that's how, I mean, we talk about Loyola Chicago. That's part of the way Loyola got to the Final Four a few years back.
True.
They got a little help.
Got a decent draw.
And so, to me, that's the kicker. It's not the NBA playoffs, you know, like.
Right. And it's hard, you know, as much as the 8-9 game kind of sucks. It's like, well, maybe you should have played a little better, too. It's like, if that's your best argument, I agree with you. And more often than not, like you say, that's probably going to end up helping the lower teams than not. And again, in a sport where the big guys have all the advantage in the world for the most part, I'm okay with them maybe being at a ever so slight disadvantage every once in a while.
Sure. And, you know, also, I mean, we do talk about this 8-9 game. And yeah, it's tough. But at the same time, like, you're going to have to beat the best teams eventually. Like, it's whether you got to beat them in the second round or in the team. So it's like, you know, I mean, you'd still rather be 8-9 than not be there, you know?
Or yeah, I'm sure Illinois would have rather lost to Loyola in the Elite Eight than the second round. But at the end of the day, but, I guess, what does it really matter? But you're, as a program, you're happier. But I understand your point,
still,
for sure.
But you still lost to Loyola.
You still lost.
And it is what it is, and Loyola still had to beat you to get there. So
You're right.
Good for them. So
I agree. All right, Pat. Well, hey, thanks, man. I got to get out of here, and I certainly appreciate your time as always, pal.
Hey, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy the rest of the tournament.
Thank you, sir.